Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here is your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. We're broadcasting from the gastronomic capital of New Orleans. Here's what's happening with me. It was another wonderful but busy week. On Friday, September 15th, I went to the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, or SOFAB for short, Hard Hat Gala. The museum is the only one of its kind and features exhibits all about Southern food and drinks. They host a lot of food and beverage events in the city of New Orleans. The museum is moving to a new, very large location, and we got a sneak peek of the building, which is under construction. It's going to have its own restaurant and bar as well as a ton of space. I have a special place in my heart for SOFAB because they featured me in an exhibit when I was 10 years old, and they hosted my first ever live cooking demonstration. Yay, SOFAB! On Saturday, the 16th, I went to my monthly supper club. Our theme was Spain, so I made albondigas, which are Spanish meatballs in a rich tomato sauce, and patatas pimenton con alioli, paprika potatoes with tossed in an alioli. I'll tell you more about it later. On Sunday, the 17th, I was at the French Market Cookbook Fair signing books and doing a cooking demonstration. I made garlic cumin potatoes and had a ton of fun with my audience. Thank you to everyone who came to support me. Also, on September 17th, Super Chef Kids aired. It's a cooking competition created by the producers of Iron Chef. I worked with celebrity chefs Carla Hall, John Besh, Elizabeth Carmel, and Aaron Sanchez. Check out all the action and watch the episodes on SuperChefKids.com. Don't forget, I'm going to be on the Wendy Williams Show on Wednesday, September 26th. Set your DVRs and watch me bring some Louisiana flavor to the set. Now, it's time for our interview with our special guest, Mark Ferry. Mr. Mark is a food photographer with quite an impressive resume. He has taken photographs for such high-profile food celebrities such as Mario Batali and B. Smith, and has worked on campaigns for such notable food companies as Bertolli, Godiva, chocolate, the Food Network, Kraft, Nestle, and Wendy's, just to name a few. He lives in New York and has a Manhattan studio complete with a professional kitchen. I'm so tongue-tied. Welcome to the Cool Kids Cook, Mr. Mark.
Well, thank you very much, Eliana. It's a pleasure to be on your radio show.
Oh, thank you so much. So, tell us a little bit about your love of food and your early food influences. Did you come from a cooking family? Because not only do you photograph food, you enjoy cooking, right?
I do enjoy cooking very much. It's one of my passions and my pleasures. I entertain a lot, and cooking is a big part of that. I didn't grow up particularly from a food family per se. I mean, it was sort of your average, food, around the house. My parents weren't big. They didn't spend a lot of time cooking. It was, but we did have very enjoyable meals. What I did grow up around though was photography. My father was a photographer. He had your typical small community studio in Western Pennsylvania, and he took weddings and high school seniors and family portraits and things. And I worked for him growing up, in high school. So what I got from my family was a love of photography. My love of food with photography came a little later when I started, working professionally.
Well, I do a little bit like of photography with my iPhone, but we were thinking of actually taking some photography classes.
Well, that's pretty interesting. It's funny you say that about the iPhone. I find that the iPhone, the photography from iPhones these days is so amazing. It just kind of blows me away. I have a friend who's a photographer who started taking a whole series of photographs on his iPhone, and he started getting some of these published by some of the magazines he works for. And he also does food photography. So I think if you know what you're doing compositionally and lighting, you can take some good pictures with your iPhone.
And you can also do some effects with apps like Instagram too.
Exactly.
They have all those cool effects. And I post my photos from my iPhone to my blog.
That's very convenient in that way.
You have built quite the business as a food photographer. How long have you been doing this work, and what have you brought into this profession?
Well, I've been doing food photography specifically for probably about 15 or 20 years. I was doing other types of photography when I was first starting out, more people and portraits, but one of the first magazines that ever gave me a job when I was first pounding the pavement with my portfolio was Gourmet magazine, and which of course is no longer publishing, unfortunately. But I was doing travel stories for them, mostly in Europe and a lot in Italy. And so because of the nature of the magazine, the emphasis, even though it was travel photography, the emphasis was on food. And I started working very regularly for them, and my pictures appeared on covers, and you know, was inside and the magazine, and got credits, and then a lot of people saw that work, and that sort of coincided with the real popularity of food with the Food Network and the kind of proliferation of food magazines. And so people saw my work there and called me up and said, you know, can you send me your food portfolio? And I, you know, quickly put something together, and that kind of snowballed. That work really just took over all of my work, and I really kind of embraced it because I really started feeling really confident doing food, and it's always been a love of mine. And I was really happy to have things go in that direction. So right now, my work is probably pretty much 100% all food related.
Well, I just love Food Network, and I love taking food photographs, and it makes you, it just looks so good.
Well, that's flattering. That's our job.
Food photography is so specialized. You work with a props professional and a food stylist. Why is that important?
It's important because everybody has their own unique talents, and you know, I work often enough that's it. It's impossible for me to, and every client is looking for a different look. A different feel of a color palette and a look of for the photography that they want for that specific, you know, job, whether it's contemporary or rustic, and so I prop stylists, you know, it's their jobs to go out and get, there are a lot of, you know, what we call prop houses, especially in New York, where you can go and there are giant warehouses with plates and surfaces and, you know, flatware and glasses, and they can pick and choose. They can spend days for one shoot, you know, picking and choosing the right props, the right palette, the right look, and then having them sent to my studio, and then arranging, you know, laying them out and working, you know, with me, collaborating with me on the photo shoot. And the same thing with a food stylist. You know, I love food and I love to cook, but I'm not a trained chef. So, and also, you know, as far as the food stylist goes, you know, I'm not a trained chef. I love to cook, but you need, you know, somebody who really is a trained chef who can really follow a variety of recipes. And not only make food as if you would eat, but making food for photography is different from making food to eat at a restaurant. You know, it's a different way of working and a different mentality. So although the food tastes good, there are tricks and things that are used to prepare the food for photography that are very specific to that. So that's why we need both a prop stylist and a food stylist on our sets.
Do you have a favorite dish or photograph or favorite memory of a photograph session?
I can't say that I have a favorite dish. What I remember are, you know, the people that I work with. You know, you mentioned some of the cookbooks that I've done. You know, Mario Batali being one. I have great memories and of all the laughs that we had, you know, working together. And I cherish those things more than specific food dishes that I photographed.
Well, since you said you have a good memory, can you share with our listeners one of your funniest or most disastrous food photography memory?
Well, there is one that comes to mind. I was doing a photo shoot on cakes, elaborate cakes, and I had a food stylist who specialized in baking and decorating cakes, and she was working on decorating this one cake for, you know, probably a couple hours, very elaborate icing and decorations on this cake, and her assistant, the cake was on a pedestal, and her assistant picked it up off of my kitchen island where she was working, and to carry it over to this, you know, photo set. And she lifted it up, and as she turned around, it slid completely off the pedestal and splattered all over the studio. Everybody just kind of looked at it and didn't say anything for a couple minutes. And then the stylist just had to kind of laugh because there wasn't much else to do about it, and she had to start all over again.
Oh, my God.
That was terrible. A long day of photography.
It's terrible.
It was kind of funny, though.
It is. Say cheese, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
What is No Added Preservatives all about? Well, it might be easier to say what isn't the show about. Your host will give it to you straight. His take on film, television, books, video games, and pretty much any other topic that comes up. He'll keep you safe and on top of the latest in media and let you know what to stick with and what to trash. Listen every week to No Added Preservatives, and each show will leave you wanting more. Tune in Wednesday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. It's almost showtime. Tune into Curtain Call every week for the latest happenings from the world of theater. It's news and reviews, both on stage and behind the scenes. If you've ever wanted to be a stage actor, theater director, or work behind the scenes in production, this is the show for you. Your hosts have been there and done that, and will answer all of your questions right on the air. Listen for Curtain Call. Weekly performances are happening Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with Mark Ferry, food photographer. So, Mr. Mark, I understand that you like to entertain at your home. Do you throw lots of formal parties, or do you just have casual gatherings for families and friends? What is your favorite go-to party dish?
It's very casual. It's an old farmhouse. Kind of in the country, and it's mostly just friends and family, like you said. We actually have a party this weekend for a couple of our friends up there, and it's turned out to be bigger than I realized. My wife said she invited another family, friends of ours, so it looks like with kids we're going to have about 12 people over. But I tend to do very simple things. I grill a lot. I also have a smoker. I smoke whole fishes. I also smoke ribs. I also like to cook roast chickens, pork tenderloin. You know, pretty simple fare, and it is very casual.
I love like grilling and having. We have big family gatherings where we have like two tables of food, and it's huge. We have like 20 people or more. And more than 20 dishes.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I come from a small family, and our holidays were typically small gatherings. And my wife is one of eight kids, and then every one of them now is married with children. So, holidays at her parents' house, you know, I think last Christmas there was 40 maybe, so they're much different events than I'm used to, and it's really kind of nice, and everybody brings something, and so there's always just lots of food around, which is always great.
There's a lot of Christmas presents.
Well, fortunately, we don't have to buy for all of those. We do a little, we choose, you know, everybody gets pulls out of a hat and has one person that they buy for. And so everybody gets a present, but you certainly don't have to buy for all those people.
Oh, wow. Good. Well, I love traveling, and there's so much to experience and eat. I know you love to travel, too. Do you like traveling abroad? Tell us about your favorite place.
I do love to travel. My favorite place, I'd have to say, is Italy. I've probably traveled there more than any other country. I'm Italian, of Italian heritage. My father was born there. I can speak the language, you know, fairly well. And when I was working a lot for Gourmet magazine, they knew, you know, that I spoke the language and that I had some family over there. And so I got a lot of assignments specifically in Italy and in most all of the regions. And I have to say that I have a particular fondness for Italian food, particularly northern Italian food. So that would definitely have to be my favorite.
Well, my mom has actually been to Italy, and I want to go there, too.
It's great. As a chef, you would love it. And the people are so gracious and inviting. I'm sure if you went there and told them that you're a chef and that you have your radio program, they would welcome you into the kitchens and probably let you get your hand in there and do some cooking with them.
Oh, that would be fun. We want to also go to Spain. We think that'd be really fun. We're thinking about going there next summer.
That's also amazing food there.
And I actually make my own pasta. I have my pasta machine, and I do everything by hand, and we boil it, and it only takes like 2 minutes, and it's so fun.
That's amazing that you do that. That's terrific.
My dad,
well, you'll have to invite me over to dinner at your house next time I'm in New Orleans.
Oh, definitely. We also make our own pizza dough, too.
Oh, that's fabulous. And also, you have such great food, you know, where you live. New Orleans has got such fabulous restaurants. You must really enjoy sampling all the fare there.
Oh, definitely. We love eating out because there's so many restaurants and there's always somewhere where we haven't been. But then we also just love to cook at home, too.
Yeah, that's always good.
Now, let's talk about unusual foods. I once accidentally swallowed a bug. I didn't eat it by choice, but it still went down. What is the most unusual food you've ever eaten? Is there a food you would never eat again?
I consider myself a very adventurous eater. I pretty much will try, you know, anything. I think one of the most unusual foods that I have eaten was, I remember once going to France, and I was with some people that I was working with, and they took us to a restaurant right on the water, right by the sea, and they brought this platter, and it was sea urchins, and it was really a platter of sea urchins that were cut in half and put on this platter, and then they served it with bread, you know, typical great French crusty bread and butter, and you were supposed to, you know, butter a piece of bread and then scrape out some of the sea urchin from the inside and spread it on the bread. It's actually very tasty, very salty, beautiful taste. But when they brought the platter out, literally the sea urchins must have just come out of the sea and were cut in half. And so when they brought the platter out, the spines were still all moving, you know, on the plate. They looked like they were still alive as we were scraping them out. So I had to get past that a little bit, but the taste was actually quite wonderful.
Oh, wow. And it was raw, too, right?
It was raw, yep. Raw, yes. It's kind of like a paste. On the inside, it's kind of like a little kind of pasty, you know, quality texture.
Well, that's extreme. I don't know if I would eat that. But.
And also, when I was in Italy, I also had pasta made with sea urchin, and also very delicious. So you didn't have to look at the spines moving, so it was easier to take. But if it's fresh, it's really good.
Well, can you share a quick and easy recipe for our listeners to try?
Well, a recipe that I like that my son makes a lot is very simple walnut muffins. And we make them a lot, you know, for a snack or for dessert or for breakfast. I have a recipe here, and the ingredients are, you know, a half a cup of walnuts, a cup of walnuts. And then I usually try to use walnut oil if I can. If I don't have any, I'll use olive oil. About two-thirds of a cup of milk, one large egg, a little bit of vanilla extract, about a cup and a half of flour, half a cup of sugar, and about a teaspoon of baking powder and a pinch of salt. And you just whisk together the oil, the milk, the eggs, and the vanilla in a bowl, and then in another bowl you mix together the flour, sugar, baking powder, salt, and then you combine the two together and put in the nuts, and then just fill like a buttered, you know, muffin, you know, tin with a batter, maybe half full because they rise, and then put them in the oven maybe 350 for 20, 25 minutes or so. And they're really delicious and they're real simple. You know, my son started making them just by trial and error. As you know, you were on the cooking show with my son Nico, and he started making them without any recipe and just combining a few things, and they were okay. He admitted that they needed a little bit of work, so we've kind of refined the recipe a little bit, and this is what we arrived at. And it's really easy and simple and really tasty.
That sounds really good. And Nico, he's such a fun and crazy guy.
He is a character.
Yes, definitely. So, what do you have for advice for kids who have a dream?
Specifically for photography or food photography, I would say the advice that I would have is something that's taken me a while to learn, I think, is just follow what you love. Photograph the kinds of foods that you would love to eat, and photograph them in a way that you would like to see, whatever you think your personal vision is or however you normally would gravitate to it, as opposed to, in our business, there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of people. There are a lot of photographers looking for work from some of the same clients, and it's easy to get, you know, caught into the trap of trying to figure out what people are looking for and trying to produce photography that you think somebody wants. And I don't think that ever really works well. I think it's better just to do what you love to do and photograph the foods you love to eat and in a way that comes naturally for you. And I think people will find people that can use that work will find you rather than you try to find specific people. So I think just be true to yourself and follow your heart would be the best advice I could give.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Mark, for being a guest on Cool Kids Cook. You've shown us that beautiful food is as appetizing to the eyes as it is to the tummy.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. It's my pleasure to be with you, Chef Eliana. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you so much. Grab a quick snack. We'll be right back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Kids face very tough and very real issues every single day. It can be bad. It can be ugly. Now there's something good that can help. Tune in to The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll discuss the issues and provide solutions and connections to solutions that you will be able to use. Our show goes right to the heart of today's kids and beyond. Your parents will probably want to listen in too. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly airs Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune into Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Guess what? We're back. It's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for a Tisket, a Tasket, what's inside my basket? Today's secret ingredients are peas and Asian pears. First, let's talk about peas. Peas come in a green pod and have a bright green round ball inside, known as the pea. Ever heard of the saying, two peas in a pod? They are one of the oldest vegetables grown by man. Peas were once very popular in Europe because they were so easy to grow. In 1695, Sicily was home to the first documentation of sweet peas. Peas were first transported to the United States in the early 1700s. Now, peas have grown to become a popular worldwide garden staple. The essence of sweet pea flowers are in many lotions, body washes, scents, and perfumes. One of my favorites is sweet pea from Bath and Body Works. Ah. Some varieties of peas are sugar snap peas and snow peas. They are really great in stir-fry recipes. Only about 5% of peas are eaten fresh. They are mostly canned or frozen. In my opinion, fresh peas taste best, but frozen peas are great in fried rice and split pea soup. Freshly frozen garden peas are available throughout the year, no matter what season. A pea-eating world record is held by Janet Harris in Sussex, UK. In 1984, she ate 7,175 peas in 60 minutes, only using chopsticks and eating them one by one. Are you ready for that challenge? Grab your chopsticks and a bowl of peas. Ready, set, go! Here's my recipe for Caribbean rice and peas. The coconut in this recipe makes for a very different kind of rice. It's delicious with some spicy jerk chicken. Ingredients: one box of frozen peas, one can of coconut milk, one small onion diced, 3 cloves of garlic, minced, 1 teaspoon of ground thyme, 1/2 a teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 2 cups of rice, and 1 whole jalapeno pepper. Add enough water to coconut milk to make 4 cups of liquid. Place the liquids in a pot with peas, onions, garlic, thyme, cumin, and olive oil. Bring to a boil. Add the rice and stir for a minute. Reduce the heat to medium low. Place the pepper on top of the liquid and cover tightly for 30 minutes or until rice is cooked. Remove the pepper before serving. Serves 4 to 6. Hey, Kid Foodies, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet me. I'm at Kid Chef Eliana. Send me your questions and ideas, and we'll connect. I'm also at Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. On Instagram and Pinterest, I'm Kid Chef Eliana. So, you know where to find me. Now, let's explore Asian pears. Asian pears come in colors of golden yellow to faded green and are sometimes speckled with small brown spots. They are often called apple pears because of their crisp, juicy consistency like an apple. They are also rounder than an apple. Asian pears will keep for a week or two at room temperature and up to 3 months if you refrigerate them. That makes them perfect for packing them in your lunchbox. They have been grown for over 3,000 years in Japan and China. The ancient Greeks used these pears as a natural remedy for nausea. So, if you're feeling queasy, grab an Asian pear. Asian pears can grow up to 30 feet tall. About 95% of pears sold in the United States are grown on the West Coast in Washington, Oregon, and Northern California. The harvest season for Asian pears in California is mid-July through September. Unlike European pears, Asian pears should be allowed to ripen on the tree. No, don't pull me off the tree yet. I'm not ready. Grab your sunscreen and sunglasses. Asian pears grow best in full sunshine. Here is a recipe for my Asian pear shove salad with a fig balsamic vinaigrette. Ingredients: 1 cup of mixed spring greens, 1/2 cup of an Asian pear, 1/2 an Asian pear, diced, 2 tablespoons of shove crumbled, 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and 1 tablespoon of fig preserve. In a small bowl, toss together the greens, diced pear, and shove. In another small bowl, whisk together the balsamic vinegar, olive oil, and fig preserve. Drizzle the vinaigrette over the salad. Serves 1. You can find all of these recipes on my website, kidchefeliana.com. If you have a secret ingredient you'd like me to talk about, you can email me at eliana@kidchefeliana.com or call my U.S. toll-free number, 888-721-5915. Leave me your first name, where you're calling from, and your question. Maybe your suggestion will air on a future episode. You're listening to Cool Kids Cook on the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Kitchen Tips and Tools. Today's first kitchen tip is how to remove the scent of garlic from your hands. After you finish cutting fresh garlic, that garlicky scent will still cling to you even after you washed your hands. If you have a stainless steel sink, you can rub your hands on for 30 seconds, then wash your hands and, viola, the scent will come right off. Another way to remove the scent of garlic from your hands is to cut a lemon in half and rub it on your hands. I advise you not to do this if you have any cuts. Ouch! Speaking of lemons, our second kitchen tip is how to juice a citrus. When you juice citruses like lemons, limes, and oranges, cut them in half and face the ends down. Squeeze the citrus using all your muscles. This way, the seeds won't fall out. Another way to juice is to use a manual juicer. Today's kitchen tool is a manual juicer. When you use a manual juicer to juice, juice over a bowl. Cut your citrus in half and push the center of the citrus into the point of the juicer and keep twisting. The juicer catches all of the falling seeds. Here's an easy recipe for strawberry lemonade. Ingredients: 2 cups of freshly squeezed lemon juice, 2 cups of granulated sugar, 1 cup of hot water, 1 gallon of cold water, 1 pint of fresh strawberries, tops removed and halved. Stir the hot water and sugar until the sugar dissolves, creating a simple syrup. Puree the strawberries in a food processor. Mix together the lemon juice, cold water, simple syrup, and strawberry puree in a large pitcher. Serve with a garnish of mint and a strawberry and a lemon slice. I hope you like my kitchen tips and tools. So, this past weekend, I went to a supper club, and our theme was Spain. So, I made albóndigas, which are Spanish meatballs, and some patatas pimentón con alioli, which is paprika potatoes tossed with an alioli. So they had some delicious, delicious food there. One of them was manchego cheese, serrano ham, and olives on top of a crostini, and that was delicious. I also had a Greek yogurt and grape gazpacho. That was amazing. I want to make some. Well, we've got to mix things up, but we'll be right back after the break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We didn't invent Kid Talk. We perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune in to the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids. It's almost showtime. Tune in to Curtain Call every week for the latest happenings from the world of theater. It's news and reviews, both on stage and behind the scenes. If you've ever wanted to be a stage actor, theater director, or work behind the scenes in production, this is the show for you. Your hosts have been there and done that, and will answer all of your questions right on the air. Listen for Curtain Call. Weekly performances are happening Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Kids channel.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at KidChefEliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
On Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and in Kitchen Tips and Tool Time, I didn't mean to say Viola. Viola is probably the name of a person. I meant to say voila. That sounds about right. But now, it's time for Spice Detective. Today, we're investigating cilantro. Cilantro is one of those herbs that people have a love-hate relationship with. I happen to be a big fan of cilantro. I love how the leaves of this plant can be really brighten the dish. Here's an interesting fact. The proper name of the entire plant and the seeds is coriander, while the leaves alone are cilantro. However, most people address the entire plant and leaves as cilantro and only the seeds as coriander. Cilantro is also referred to as Chinese parsley. Cilantro/coriander is native to regions and areas from southern Europe and North Africa to southwestern Asia. Cilantro has been used for thousands of years. Coriander seeds have been found in ancient Egyptian tombs. I guess King Tut loved his spices. Over 2,000 years ago, the herb could be found in the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Ancient Hebrews used cilantro in their traditional Passover meal. In the Bible, Exodus chapter 16, verse 31, mentions coriander when God gave Moses and his people manna to eat. This is the verse. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. To make cilantro last longer, once you bring cilantro home from the market, snip the ends of the stems off. Place it in a clear jar or glass of water and cover it with a plastic bag. Place it in the refrigerator. This will help to lengthen the life of the plant, although it will still wilt. Change the water if it turns brown. So, cilantro, love it or loathe it? A scientific study may prove that your love or hate of cilantro is genetic. A study showed that if one identical twin loved the herb, so did the other. If one identical twin hated the herb, so the other did too. This was not the case in fraternal twins. So, if you don't like cilantro, it might be your mom and dad's fault. Here's a recipe for cilantro pesto, which I hope you enjoy. Ingredients: a cup of fresh cilantro, 3 cloves of garlic minced, 1 teaspoon of rice vinegar, 1/4 cup of grated Asiago cheese, 1/2 cup of pecans, 1 pinch of white pepper, salt to taste, 1/4 cup of olive oil, and 1 tablespoon of sesame oil. In a blender or food processor, blend cilantro, garlic, vinegar, cheese, white pepper, nuts, and salt. Slowly add the olive oil and sesame oil and blend thoroughly. Add more olive oil if the mixture is too thick. Serve over rice noodles and toss with freshly julienned carrots, cucumbers, and daikon radishes. It's snacktivity time. Here, I give you fun, easy, breezy snack ideas. Today's snacktivity is Jell-O pudding cups. These are great on a hot summer day. Ingredients: 1 3.9-ounce package of Jell-O chocolate instant pudding and 2 cups of cold milk. Directions: mix the ingredients for 2 minutes. Pour the mixture into 6 paper or plastic 5-ounce 60 cups. Put the filled cups on a tray. Cover with plastic. Insert popsicle sticks in the center of each cup through the plastic wrap. Freeze until firm. Peel off the paper cups before serving. Hey, young chef, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Creative Cuisine. Here's a recipe for Asian meatballs. Ingredients: 1 pound of pork, 1 pound of ground beef, 1/4 cup of breadcrumbs, 1 egg beaten, 1 cup of soy sauce, 1/2 cup of sesame oil, 1/4 cup of lime juice, 3 tablespoons of fresh cilantro chopped, 1/2 cup of water chestnuts chopped, and 1/2 cup of tablespoon of fresh ginger grated. That'd be too much ginger. Directions: preheat oven to 400 degrees. Mix the pork, beef, breadcrumbs, egg, 1/2 cup of soy sauce, 1/4 cup of sesame oil, 1/8 cup of lime juice, 2 tablespoons of cilantro, water chestnuts, and 1/4 tablespoon of ginger. Form into small balls. Place in a baking dish. Over low heat, simmer remaining soy sauce, sesame oil, lime juice, cilantro, and ginger for 10 minutes. Pour over the meatballs. Cover and bake for 20 minutes. Here's another creative cuisine idea. Here's the recipe for my miso marinated chicken. Ingredients: 2 tablespoons of chicken breast, thinly sliced, 1/4 cup of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, and 1 teaspoon of miso paste. Oh, and also 1 tablespoon of granulated sugar. Mix the chicken with the ingredients. Cook in a grill pan on the stove on high heat until both sides have a dark brown color and char mark. This grilled chicken is perfect for a salad or Asian spring rolls. I made this recipe this past weekend. It was so good. It was delicious. Hey, young chef, it's time for Cookin' Crafts. Here is a fun kitchen-related craft. Today's Cookin' Craft is how to make a spoonful of hugs and kisses. Supplies: one plastic spoon, Hershey hugs and kisses, a zip bag, ribbon, index card cut in half, and a hole puncher. Step 1. Put a couple of hugs and kisses on the curved part of the spoon. Step 2. Cover the hugs and kisses with the zip bag. Step 3. Hole punch the index card. Step 4. String the ribbon through the hole in the index card and tie it around the zip bag. Step 5. Write a note on the index card that says something like, "A spoonful of hugs and kisses because I love you." The instructions, along with the photos, are on my website for this week's episode on KidChefElianna.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at KidChefElianna on Twitter and Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. Be sure to hit that like button. I like you, and I hope you like me, too. If you are listening to the show on iTunes, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the show. The more reviews we get, the more young chefs we can reach. I went to the SoFab Gala this past weekend, and it was really fun, and I got to meet all kinds of people that were related to the food industry. And it was really hot there, but they had a couple of fans. They had some barbecue sliders from American Sector. They had some delicious paella with a spicy sauce that you could add on top of it, which my mom did, and she added like a dollop of it, and her mouth was on fire. So she had to get a new bowl. They also had some duck that you put on bread and you would eat that. There was also some redfish mousse that was delicious, and you spread it on top of some crostini. Mm-mm-mm. So what the point is that I got to autograph somebody's red Michael Kors shoe, which is really cool. They said, "Oh my gosh, wow, you need to sign my shoe. I need your autograph." Well, that was extraordinary. That's all for this week. I leave you with this quote from Craig Claiborne, former food editor of the New York Times. "Cooking is at once child's play and adult joy, and cooking done with care is an act of love." Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Bon appetit. I'll see you next week.
It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week, but be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking!